and welcome to a special Markhive summary episode of Octopod, the Octo Podcast. I'm Nick Wehner, Director of Open Initiatives at Octo, Project Director for the Markhive Archive of Ocean Conservation and Marine Climate Change Research. Thank you for listening. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Kai Adams, lead author on the paper Sharks, Rays, and Deportion, The Prevalence of Capture-Induced Parturition in Lazarobranchs, which is available to read for free in the Markhive Archive at marxiv.org. Without further ado, I'll let Kai introduce himself.
So my name's Kai Adams, and I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Wollongong. And yeah, my research focuses on the reproduction in sharks and rays.
With that said, can you just give me a quick elevator kind of like describing what you and your co-authors did in your own works?
In the quick summary, unfortunately, sharks and rays, one of their responses to stress is to quite commonly abort their pups. So yeah, once they're caught by fishing, they can lose their pups. And basically nothing is really known about this at this stage, like how prevalent it is and what species it occurred in. So we went trawling through the literature to try and shed some light on how big a problem this might be, if it is a problem, and what are some of the key areas that we can work on to address it if it is indeed a problem.
So why do you think it's been ignored in the academic literature for, gosh, over like 200 years?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I think possibly because it is a bit of a morbid topic. It's not an attractive area to research, and it is often misinterpreted as a natural birth. So I think just our innate human nature wants us to see the best in things, so we don't want to think that we're having an impact on the animals, so we automatically assume that we just happen to witness a natural birth, which is, scientists included, tend to lean towards thinking that we're not causing harm when in fact our actions might be, and it's something that we probably need to consider in conducting our research.
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating that you found examples of this happening just on YouTube, of all places, including examples that weren't even mentioned in the academic literature. How did that feel to discover that?
It was a bit morbid viewing those videos through a different pair of glasses, if you like. Once you know what they're depicting, they do become a bit distressing and a bit disturbing. Those videos are portrayed by most of the uploaders, if not all of the uploaders, as a happy occasion. I know that one of the videos even had the hashtag happy birth ray.
Which is so cute and sad at the same time.
Yeah. If it was a natural birth, it's a lovely video. But once you know what it truly depicts, which is the female ray losing her pups, it changes the way you view it. And I think scientists especially have a social responsibility to educate the public on what these events actually are and try and come up with ways that we can hopefully prevent too many occurrences of this in the future.
So is there any like changes in fishing practices or something like that you think would help reduce these impacts?
In particular, it's probably not a huge impact on a lot of shark and rays. We tend to view it only really of huge concern for those species that might be endangered or really low numbers, where for species like angel sharks and sawfish, every pup counts. So we advise people who do fish in areas where these might be found to potentially avoid fishing when you know it might be the breeding season, which is often a defined period of the year. And then you can avoid catching females if you don't fish where those pregnant females might occur. But also, if you are fishing, try and use real selective fishing gear so that you're targeting the species that you're going after rather than accidentally catching something like a shark or a ray. I know it's hard to be selective sometimes, but if a shark or a ray does take your line and you bring it next to your boat, don't bring it into the boat. Leave it in the water and cut the line as close to the mouth as you can without putting yourself in harm's way. And those, if you're not using stainless steel hooks, the hooks will just rust out in a matter of weeks and the shark or the ray will be fine. So those are the general practices we'd advise just to minimise the impact if that's something that you are concerned about. But yeah, at this stage we still don't fully understand what causes it, whether it's the physical kind of action of catching it and bringing it on board a vessel, or whether it's stress hormones, or whether it's an interaction of the two. My best guess is that it's probably an interaction between physiological stress as well as, yeah, the physical nature of being caught in a net and squeezed by gravity and by the net itself is what's causing them to eject their pups.
Yeah, so you mentioned that this, I guess, is not like the strategy of giving birth prematurely if the female is threatened is not all that uncommon. Could you speak more to that?
Yeah, so it does occur. It's not just in sharks and rays. It does occur in, it has been observed in other terrestrial animals, this action of giving birth in response to a stressful event. So, for example, it's known that a lot of kangaroos, if they've got joeys in their pouch and they're chased by a predator or something that mimics a predator, like a human trying to catch them, they'll actually throw their joey from their pouch in an attempt to distract the predator and escape themselves. So it could be something similar is happening in the sharks and rays where they're trying to escape the predator and survive to breed another day. But yeah, it's still kind of just hypotheses on why it might occur. It could just be that we're not mimicking anything in the environment and they just do it as a response to fishing. But we have observed the events in response to two natural phenomena like stranding and predation. So that's what makes us think that this response to stress might be evolutionary.
So what's next for you on your research on this topic?
Yeah, currently we've got a bunch of projects that are looking further into this impact of stress on sharks and rays. So I've been conducting a lot of ultrasounds and looking into the reproduction of species down on the south coast of Australia. And yeah, we're currently in the process of analysing that data and writing it up for publication. So there's a bunch of stuff about to come out in this space, hopefully shedding some more light on what impact it has on, or potential impact it might have on shark and ray populations, and whether it's something that we should be concerned about when we're managing these species.
Thank you for listening to this special Markhive summary episode of the Octopod podcast. For more information on the Markhive Ocean Conservation and Climate Change Research Archive, please visit the Markhive repository at markhive.org. That's markhive.org. Documentation for the Markhive project, including a handy list of self-archiving policies for many popular journals, may be found at markhiveinfo.org. Our intro music is Driven to Success by Scott Holmes, and our outro music is Seeing the Future by Dexter Britton. Subscribe to Octopod wherever you get podcasts. If you like what you've heard, help others discover us by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Markhive and Octopod are brought to you by Octo, accelerating ocean conservation by connecting ocean professionals to the knowledge and networks they need. Learn more and help support our work by making a tax-deductible donation at www.octogroup.org. Special thanks to the David and Lucille Packard Foundation for supporting Markhive, and thank you to everyone who has helped us along the way. Until next time.